Well, good morning, church. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? You guys excited to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Well, I'm glad to see you all today. It's been a while since I got to see all your beautiful faces on a Sunday morning. I think it was in January, so it's an honor to be here with you all. Just because I like to make Chris upset, my name is Pastor Joshua, and I'm glad to be here. So he doesn't like it whenever I introduce myself, but you know what? I believe as a church we're growing, there's new faces in here all the time. So why not introduce ourselves? Because as a church we grow, and that's what we do. We welcome those and we let them know who we are. All right, I'm just giving you a hard time. Like I said, I'm excited to be here today because you know what? God has a plan for today. And before I jump into the word, I just wanted to share with you guys a little bit about hopefully that helps it. I just want to share with you guys today a little bit about what happened, what's been going on at Tulsa before I jump into the word. Is that okay? Man, you know, God has been doing great things over there. You know, this year, we've already seen more people come to church, more people come to know Christ in this beginning of the year than we have since I started there. So God is doing a great work, and it's because of you guys' faithfulness and praying for us and standing in the gap each and every day, and we appreciate your work and labor of love. You know, and we've seen not only the area change, but the city get on board, and, you know, we're doing this thing called the 74127 cleanup, and, you know, it's happening April 27th. And you know what's amazing about it? When you take it to prayer and God gets involved in it, how it changes everything. Because, you know, we did something last year, it was okay, but when God steps in, it becomes great. And you know, that's the beauty of it. Last year we had like 5 dumpsters in the community, but this year alone the city has given us 5 dumpsters, the county's given us 3 dumpsters. The other churches are helping to buy about 7 to 8 dumpsters to help clean up the area. You know, it's a beautiful thing when churches come together. They say it's not about logos or egos. It's about the kingdom of God, because we're not so driven about our churches, but we're driven about seeing the kingdom of heaven populated. And that changes our perspective as when we go out to tell others, because I'm not ashamed to tell somebody, hey, you know what? This is a good church, but you know what? God's got a word for you wherever you are, because I believe we carry the presence of God, and each and every one of us are carrying and living, and we ought to act like the church wherever we go. And so what God has been doing in West Tulsa has been amazing, you know, just with this cleanup day. We're actually doing 3 events one day, and that's how crazy it started. It started from 5 dumpsters to now we've got over 16. We're doing sports camps. We're doing free haircuts. So if you guys need a haircut, April 27th from 9 to noon, they're giving free haircuts, popcorn, snow cones. It's just going to be an amazing day. So I just thought I'd let everybody know. Oh, there's a swap meet. I wrote it all down, but it's a lot. So a block party, eye exam, dental screening. So if you guys are interested, come on out. Well, today, as we dive into the Word, I'm excited because Pastor Chuck has been talking about this series called Bringer, and, you know, we both have been talking about the same series, and what I love about this word is the definitions of words, and that's kind of my niche now. I like to look up definitions a lot now, and I'm like, man, this is going to be good. So the word bringer is actually from the word bring, and the definition of that means to come to a place with someone or something, to conduct, to lead, to usher, to show, to cause someone or something to come to a place, to carry, to bear, to take, to transport, to move, to make a directional path for something. That way you cause an effect. Man, and what I love is that it says to show someone the way. A bringer is someone who shows someone the way. It's saying that, you know what, I have found the way, so I can show you the way. Because now what I have found, I come to the understanding in the same way that, hey, I need to bring others to know what I have found. Because so often we forget that we've been brought from a long way into this place. But it's time that we get back in that mindset of being a bringer. One who says, you know what, somebody came into the highways and byways and told me about the goodness of God. So why don't I go out and tell other people about the goodness of God? And so a bringer does just that. He shows others. Others the way. And no matter what it is, I like to think of it in this way, because I think of it a little bit differently. In the same way, it's one beggar telling another beggar where he found the bread. Man, it's just telling someone about the goodness of things that they found, the goodness and the richness and the fullness of what they have found in Christ. Man, the way that it's supposed to be for the churches, we're supposed to stay focused on the lost and bringing others to know. Because the truth is, the mission of the church is to seek and save the lost. That's the mission of the church. It's not built for any other reason but to go after those lost, to bring them into the relationship which we have found through Christ Jesus, so we can bring others to understand that relationship so that they might walk with us. You know, in my own life, I remember this. I remember I wasn't so good at being a bringer. I wasn't so good at telling other people about it. Matter of fact, the worst part was when I was on a mission trip. I went on a lot of mission trips, but I went to Mexico and I was down there. This is the first time I ever ministered the gospel. And I'm standing down there and they said, all right, we're in this plaza. And there's, you know, just people walking around. I'm just ballparking them. Like 2,000 people walking around. And I'm just seeing all these people. And they said, here's some tracks in Spanish. Here's two Spanish phrases. And you're going to have an interpreter. Just go over there and just start talking to people. I was like, they didn't tell me I was going to be doing all this. I know it's a mission trip, man. I thought we was just going to be like here, you know, waving at people, thumbs up, smiles, you know. They're going to tell me to go and minister to somebody. I was like, I've never done this before. So to be honest, I was afraid because I was like, how do you do those things? What does that look like? And then I was also afraid that if I told somebody for the first time that I would mess it up, that I would misrepresent Christ in the wrong way. So I didn't want to do it. I said, man, if I go out there and tell the gospel in the wrong way, I'm going to hurt somebody. But the truth was, is that I was just afraid because I had heard the word and I knew that I could present the gospel. But the truth was, is that it was outside of my comfort zone. And so often we get afraid because we're stepping outside of our comfort zone that we won't do it. We'll say, well, I'm just too afraid. But the message of the church is to take the church to the lost. That's what we have to be about, because our focus needs to be for those who are far from God. Man, that's Jesus's heart in the same way, is that we go after the lost because he has commissioned us, he has empowered us, and he's challenged us to do that. So my 2 points today that we're going to be covering is that God's heart is for the lost and that we have been given a mandate to go after them. And now he has empowered us. So as you follow with me, I want you to remember those two things. So the Bible says in Luke 15 verses 8 through 10. It says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she lost one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends, her neighbors. She rejoices with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Man, God's heart. Jesus is telling us the heart of the Father right there. In that parable, you can read, there's another parable about the lost sheep. There's so many parables. I believe that Jesus spent most of his time talking about the lost because he said, I didn't come for the saved, but I come from the lost, those who are brokenhearted. I come for the lost sheep of Israel. He said, those are what I've truly come for, that they come to know me. And so his heart has always been for those who are far from him. Because the truth is that God's saying, man, if they only knew. The Bible even talks about in Psalms, it said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, if they would just see, if they could come here, if we would bring them, their life could be changed forever because they haven't had an encounter with God, just as you and I have had a real encounter with God. And the truth is that we can't be afraid to tell other people about the gospel, no matter how intimidating they might be or how much they might know about the gospel already. Because I'll tell you the truth, I have a hard time ministering to Tulsa, because most of the homeless people, most of the people in general know more about they could quote better scriptures than I can. I mean, I ran into this guy the other day. He could quote the whole book of John. I was like, okay, I can't quote the whole book of John. He started from verse upon verse. But you know what? You can't be afraid to go after the lost. Keith Green said this about that. He said, I'd rather have people hate me with the knowledge I tried to save them. He said this, I'd rather have people hate me with the knowledge I tried to save them. Man, that's powerful. I'd rather have somebody say, well, that guy keeps telling me about Jesus. He keeps trying to lead me to Christ. I don't want to go there. Man, I'd rather be doing what God has called me to do, to go after the lost, than never to do it at all. Because that's been our mandate that God has continuously given to us. See, what I'm going to say today might ruffle some of your feathers about the lost, but it's needed because it's very important. The truth is that most of us in our life, our Christian walk with Christ, we'll sit here and we'll read the Bible, but we won't act upon the Bible. It's time that we put what we read into action, because there are people who are dying and going to hell every day because we are comfortable. in this place. We are comfortable in our walk with Christ to the point where we say, well, someone else will do it. Well, Jesus has called us to be the hands and feet of the ministry. He has called us to be his, and he's called us to go out and bring others to know him. See, the truth is that if we read the Bible and we don't do it, but we give him lip service, we're just operating in hypocrisy. We're saying one thing with our mouth, but we're not doing the things which we're telling other people to do. And that's wrong. That's not what we've been called to do. So we have to read the word and we have to live the word daily, because the truth is if you don't live out what you've been reading, you're hurting yourself, you're robbing God, and you're living a life full of hypocrisy. So it's time that we begin to live out what God has put in front of us. Man, it doesn't matter if they fit into this cookie cutter image of how you believe they should look when you go and minister to them, but we ought to go into every man's world and preach the gospel. It doesn't matter who they are, because the truth is, sometimes we say, well, I don't know if they should be here. I don't know how they should look a certain way, or they shouldn't have tattoos, or they should be fitting the part when they walk into the church. The truth is that, man, God has called each and every one of us to go. He has called them his children. So how dare us look down upon them or look in them at a negative way? He has called us to be his ambassadors. He's called us to go after them. He's called us and he has told us that they are worthy of his love. He is saying that if I have called them worthy, we have no place to say that they are not deserving of my love. So in the same way, we have to say, hey, it's no more. I will no longer forget to tell people about the gospel, but I will continuously tell people about the gospel. I will go wherever I have to go. We can't sit here any longer and rob people of the blessings that we've come into the understanding of. The Bible talks about this as we go into our second point, is that God has given us a mandate. And that mandate is this. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. Says this: for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all has died, and he has died for all of us, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was risen. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All things and all this is from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ God was reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are an ambassador for Christ God, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, that he has made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. Man, what I love about that whole passage is so powerful. It takes us step by step. It says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. God reconciled us. He did that for us too. It's not just for those people who are out there and lost. He did that for each and every one of us. Man, he said, I wrote down the definitions of these words because I wanted to make sure I communicated. Reconcile and reconciliation are along the same line, so I just give one definition. It says to make one's account consistent with the other. It says to reunite, to bring back, to bring together, to restore, to find a friendly friendship, to restore for harmony, to make a place of peace, to bring together on good terms, to make someone accepted. Man, so to reconcile means to put it in right standing, to bring to right order. So reconciled is what we have been. And now he has said, I have made you ministers of reconciliation, because we have been reconciled unto him. We have been brought into right understanding and right standing with God once we have accepted to him. And now he is saying, hey, it's your job to bring others into this same standing. It's your mandate to go after the lost. It's your responsibility. It's not just the pastor's job. It's our job. It's our mandate. It's his heart to go after the lost, to reconcile them so they can come to know the same peace, love, joy, and the understanding that you have. And there he goes on to say that everyone who is in me is a new creation. So we bring them into the new creation, the new understanding of who they are called to be. And then he says this, it says that you will be an ambassador for God. Man, the word ambassador is this. It says a person who acts as a representative or promotes a specific activity is an ambassador for an industry or for a person or for an organization. God has said, I have made you an ambassador of these things. I have put you over this. Man, we understand ambassadors because we have one. He goes into other nations. We have an ambassador to just about, he goes to all the other countries and speaks on the president's behalf. And so God has said, I have given you authority to speak on my behalf. I have given you this. He has made us an ambassador of reconciliation. That means that he says, I have given you authority. I have given you my power to go there into the highways and byways and bring those into my reconciliation so that they can be reconciled to me, so they can be right standing with me. So he is saying, I have asked you to do these things. I have called you to do these things. You know, another definition of ambassador is this. It's called a brand ambassador, and I like this definition just as much. It says this. It says a brand ambassador is and oftentimes hired by corporations to represent a brand in a positive light. By doing so, they help increase awareness. They talk about it. They tell people. They go and they talk about the key elements of what they have, the abilities that they have been given, the promotions, the strategies, the understanding, the strength, and they have the corporate backing. Man, even the world has the understanding of what an ambassador looks like. It's time for us as a church to understand that. As an ambassador of Christ, we have to have that same understanding that he has said, man, you have it all. Now you just need to operate in it all and call my people back unto me. He said, man, you have to go after the lost. You have to be the ones who do it. And so often we don't do it because we just feel afraid, and that's not what we ought to do. We ought to be going and preaching the gospel. And the truth is that a lot of us are ambassadors, but we are ambassadors for the wrong thing. And I got this illustration right here. Let me give my props. I think I'm really cool now because I use props sometimes. Don't look at my box. This is the best thing I had, but let me put this up. So this is my clothes hanger, you know. I think it's really fancy now. But the truth is that we are all been called an ambassador, but so often we promote a lot of things. If you look at us, we all promote something. We all talk about something daily. We'll promote Starbucks. We'll promote all these other things. And, you know, the truth is that, man, I don't know about you, but some of us here, man, we might be a TU fan. You know, I think that's just like one or two of us in here. We might be a TU fan, you know. We might be a Super Mario Brothers fan. If you don't know what that is, that's a video game, you know. 64% of my messages involve video games. So, you know, or we might be a Thunders fan. Come on. Oh, no Thunders fans in here. Okay, that's we might be an OSU fan. Amen. Okay. And some of us are OU fans. Let's do it. Let's put it the right way. Okay, anyway. But all of us are fans of something. We support them, we talk about them, we represent them in every way, right? Man, if I was to ask somebody who's the starting lineup for OSU or OU or the Thunder, who's playing, who's in the championship, most of you guys could tell me that. Most of you guys could tell me who's winning the PGA Tour. Most of you guys could tell me what the best bait is to use when I go fishing. Most of you guys can tell me those things. But so many of us can't tell me the 12 disciples that Jesus walked with on a daily basis. See, we will willingly follow these people and these teams and represent them, but we won't willingly pursue our relationship with Christ as a proper brand ambassador. It's time that we get our focus reshifted on following Christ and not following the world system better than we follow Christ. It's time that we begin to say, hey, you know what? I need to refocus my thinking. See, so many of us will say, you know what? I bleed orange or I bleed red. Oh, I guess you do bleed red. But I bleed my team's colors. I got myself on that one. But the truth is, so many of us will say those things. I've even said it. I say I believe Florida Gator or blue and orange, you know. But the truth is that, man, we will represent those without a doubt, right? But the truth is, we have to get refocused. I remember I was talking with Miranda about this, and I made like that same mistake. I was like, yeah, I'll bleed like a red blue. She's like, it's OU red. It's a difference. I was like, I was just making a reference. And then she went on to educate me about OU. And I was like, wow, I didn't know it was that serious. And I was like, well, you just preached the message for me, because the truth is that we know more about our teams than we know about God sometimes. And it's time that we reshift our focus onto the right things. So when we present things to the world, they hear it through a Christ mindset, that they see us as a full-on understanding ambassador of who Christ is. The truth is when we get our life right, when we get our focus right, we begin to talk to people in the right way. We begin to focus in the right way. And so we need to stop worrying more about these things and start worrying more about being on the right team. And we need to be focused on Team Jesus, because the truth is that this is the team we need to represent. That's the brand we need to be ambassadors for. We need to be standing in faith and proclaiming who he is. So the Bible goes on to say this. It says in Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek." Man, the Bible talks about it. Hey, we're called. We're called, and we shouldn't be ashamed to take the gospel anywhere in the world. We have been called and given a mandate by Christ to represent this team and represent it well with the fullness in which he's got for us, in which everything. Let us no longer be ashamed of what he's called us to do and what he's given us a mandate. Because the truth is if we tell people to come to church and we begin to proclaim it in the right way, man, their life will be changed. Because here's what I come to understand is that we should do whatever we can to compel them to become, because if they come here, there's a great chance that their life will be changed forever in the presence of God. It will be changed forever in the presence of God. Man, if people came and encountered the presence of God, their life will be changed forever. And the truth is that Brother Chuck and I, man, he's doing a great job, and I just love him. And I noticed that we have been challenging everyone to invite people to Easter. Man, I am telling you, that is your job as an ambassador to bring people to be reconciled to the Father. If they just came and if they just tasted and seen of the goodness of God, they will be changed forever, because they will understand that God is the one who can change them. See, as Chuck and I have been inviting people for Easter, it's not for us. It's for those people who are far from God to come to know Christ. We have been given that mandate. And so even though we have challenged you with this phrase called a bringer, is because we are called to bring them back into his understanding, to his light, to motivate those who are far from God to have a walk with God once again. So that's why we have called each and every one of you to take up the mantle, to carry your cross daily, and to go. Man, you might feel uncomfortable talking about Jesus to people. You might feel uncomfortable walking into the Walmart and saying, hey, you know what, I don't know you, but I'm trusting and I'm led by God, but this invite card, it's for you. It's for you, because you know what? I know that God has a purpose for your life. I know God has a reason what he has put me here for. And I know this. And the Bible says in Exodus 9:16, it also says this. It says, "But this for this purpose have I raised you up, to show my power, so that my name may be proclaimed into all the earth." Man, he is saying that, man, I have raised you up to proclaim my name into all the earth. So, man, we are called to go. You know, Mark 16 talks about that. He says, man, we are called to go into the utmost parts of the earth. Man, we start here at home and we invite them. We start right here in Judea, Samaria, and everywhere else. So we've been called by God. And as we get ready to close out today, will you stand with me? The truth is God is calling you. And today I'm issuing you a challenge today. And the challenge is that when I walked in here this morning, I saw all these invite cards still left at the altar. Man, that's not Pastor Chuck's job alone. That's not the staff's job alone. That's our job. Man, I know that you might have a brother, a sister, an uncle, an aunt, a niece that needs to know Christ. I want to ask you today, is there one more that you could reach for Christ? Is there one more? Maybe you don't even know him, but is there one more person you could say, hey, I believe that God has ordained you to come to know him. I believe God is calling you to come to know him. Will you come with me on Easter? Will you sit with me? Will you be part of this church family? Man, I believe you have to ask yourself that question. Is there one more? Man, I know in my family there's maybe two or three more that I'm going to continue to invite. So as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want you to ask yourself that question. Is there one more person I can invite this Easter to come into the relationship with Christ? And as we get ready to go into this worship song, I challenge each and every one of you to come down here and just take one more card. If there's a waitress or if there's a waiter or as you're going someplace and you feel the tug on your heart to minister to that person and invite them, I challenge you to do so. And the second of all, if you're in here today and you say, hey, I've been far from God my whole life and I want to come to know him. I want to be reconciled and I want to be a new creation in Christ. The altars will be open for you as we go through this time of worship. So if you're here today and you say, I don't know God and I want to give my heart to him, or you just need prayer for anything, I'm making the altars open. So come down, come as the worship team plays.